Hey, big spender. U.S. consumer spending ticks up again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Welcome to the Morning Open. Consumer spending is up for the sixth straight month, and Continental and United are joining forces to become the world's largest airline. We'll get to that in a moment. First, let's take a look at what the markets are doing this morning. What can I say? Wall Street loves it when we spend. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.6% to 11,074. The NASDAQ also up 0.6% to 2,475. The S&P 500 up 0.5% to 1,193. U.S. consumer spending jumped more than 0.5% in March. Here to talk about this with us is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist with Standard & Poor's Equity Research in New York. He joins us live. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Sam, spending is up for the sixth straight month, but our incomes were flat again in March, and unemployment is still really high. So where's all this money that we're spending coming from?
Well, I think it's coming from a combination of sources. We expect to see actually a rise in payrolls of 200,000 when they report in Friday of this week. Also, I think more upbeat economic reports are causing consumers to feel a little bit better about job security. And then lastly, you know, I think they're simply getting tired of denying themselves in this recession.
Right. Well, but it sounds like maybe we're just putting a lot of this money on our credit cards. I thought we had maybe learned our lesson from the recession and started to save again.
Well, I think we only learn those lessons when the problems are staring us right in the face. We did see the savings rate peak out at about 7% in 2008. Now it's expected to average about 3.5% this year. That's five times the level back in 2006, but about half of the level that we saw in 1990 and earlier.
How long can a recovery last, though, if we are just relying on consumer spending and not seeing job growth?
Well, certainly consumers represent the bulk of the U.S. economy, but I think most economists are expecting capital expenditures to really be driving the economic growth. We have a forecast of about a 9.5% increase for 2010. Plus, we're seeing an awful lot of cash on the books of companies in the S&P 500, and that could be spurring consolidations such as the merger announcement between United and Continental.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist with S&P Equity Research in New York. Sam, thank you.
My pleasure.
Like Sam just mentioned, Continental and United Airlines announced plans to merge this morning. Here to talk about this with us is our own Brett Neely in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Brett, Continental and United are already part of the same alliance. What do they get out of a formal merger?
The word you're going to hear a lot of today is synergy. The airlines say there's $1 billion worth of additional revenue and cost savings from a merger. But I talked to Alan Michael at Boston University this morning, and he said, beware when you hear the S word.
Companies very often, when they do merge, they anticipate synergies. One of the main reasons deals don't work out is because the synergies don't materialize.
What about passengers? How will all of this synergy affect them?
The short answer is fewer flights, higher ticket prices, but more destinations. And there are going to be limits to what people will pay. I mean, just look at how successful the budget airlines have been taking passengers away from the big airlines.
What about the rest of the airline industry? How are they responding to this merger?
Well, if the deal goes through, and you have to remember that the feds and shareholders will both have to sign off on this deal, there will be just four big full-service airlines left. The two smaller ones after this deal would close, American and US Air, may have a hard time competing and may have to merge or get into an alliance as well. So within a few years, we could have just two or three big carriers left.
And finally, Brett, I have to ask, what is this new airline going to be called?
Well, they're taking synergy to 30,000 feet. They're going to have the United name, but with the Continental logo, paint job, fonts, and everything. You can see a mock-up of what the new airline's plans will look like online on their websites.
Brett Neely in Washington, D.C. Brett, thank you.
Thank you, Stacey.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Monday, May 3rd at marketplace.org. President Obama was in southeastern Louisiana yesterday, trying to reassure fishermen and everybody else that the government is doing all it can to clean up the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The cleanup is expected to cost more than $100 million and will devastate Louisiana's $3 billion fishing industry. British oil giant BP has said it will pay for the cleanup and compensate victims of the spill. This week, the president will continue his push for financial reform as well. There's been a lot of back and forth over that legislation in the Senate. The drama continues this week. Today, senators will look at some proposed changes for the bill. Some amendments call for a radical restructuring of the nation's banking system, and some of those reformers are using anti-bank sentiment to justify their strategies. John Dimsdale has more.
Senators will propose to cut banks down to size, tax them, and even ban some of their products. But Tennessee Republican Bob Corker has already raised the danger of going too far.
I know there's a lot of populism, and it sounds really great that we're going to take on Wall Street, but I think what we need to remember is we may be taking on the heartland.
Corker says U.S. exporters need banks big enough to compete globally. And limits on bank derivative trading, for example, would merely send that lucrative business overseas. Chicago investment counselor Marshall Front advises Congress to take a longer look at reforms.
Rather than at a time when populism is white hot and incumbents are fearful of not being reelected and therefore have to jump onto the bandwagon.
He says banks already have plenty of rules and regulators should concentrate on enforcing them. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Greece got a lifeline over the weekend. Finance officials from around Europe have agreed to a 3-year bailout of Greece. Combined with help from the International Monetary Fund, the rescue package would total $146 billion in loans. It's the largest national bailout in history. Yet the deal isn't final. Lawmakers around Europe have to sign off on it. And there are other doubts. From London, Stephen Beard explains.
If the bailout goes through, it will save Greece from default, at least for a month. The country will be able to pay its creditors by the next deadline on May 19th. But there are doubts about the longer term. In return for the loan, Greece has had to agree some very deep cuts in public spending, with big cuts in public sector pay. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank says the Greek government may not be able to deliver.
There are going to be intense street demonstrations. Large parts of the economy are going to be closed down for much of the next month or so. And we'll see if the government really has the stomach for the fight with the public sector unions that's required.
Investors don't seem to feel the crisis is over. The euro fell in early trading today. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Connecticut Democrat Chris Dodd has announced he won't attend a high-profile fundraiser tonight, a big money fundraiser in New York. A spokesman says the senator has to stay in Washington to channel financial reform legislation on the Hill. The fundraiser's received some negative press, mostly because it features some of the biggest names from Wall Street, names in the crosshairs of that financial reform bill. Even though Dodd dropped out, his Democratic colleague Kirsten Gillibrand of New York says she will most certainly attend. Gillibrand's in the midst of a hotly contested re-election campaign. And as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson found out, the party's RSVP list could help her.
On the guest list, lots of Wall Street names.
Wall Street is where the money is.
That's Dave Leventhal with the Center for Responsive Politics.
If you want to raise money, if you want to have a successful campaign, then you've got to raise dough to do it. And going to Wall Street, well, there's still a lot of cash to go around there.
And in recent elections, most of that cash has gone to Republicans, though in 2008, Leventhal says it was an even split between the parties. And this year, he says Democrats are losing ground with the banking industry.
The Democrats are receiving about 45%, the Republicans about 54%, and still there's a whole lot of cash to be raised, as you can tell with this fundraiser.
Senator Gillibrand's office says tonight's get-together is not an industry event and that she remains a supporter of strong financial reform. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Today, China ordered banks to increase cash reserves. The country's trying to control inflation and skyrocketing real estate prices. Another tactic it's using, you're now only allowed to own one home in Beijing. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
The Chinese central government gave cities like Beijing a directive: slow the runaway property market. Now, each family can only buy one apartment in the city. Many investors, both here and abroad, saw a bubble building. The average Chinese mortgage is 14 times a person's annual income. In the U.S., it's about half that. Economist Frank Sung at the University of Hong Kong says the rule targets wealthy Chinese property flippers.
There's some bubbles, especially in the high-end properties. So with this policy, it will change some of the expectations of speculators.
This policy actually has several pieces. Banks have to keep more cash in reserve and lend less. Home buyers have to bring more cash as down payment, 30% instead of 20%. Song says credit's been too easy in China, even though that was by design. Here's economist Glenn McGuire at the bank Societe Generale.
It has been the very intensive construction and housing model that has created jobs in the Chinese economy in the post-global recession period.
Anticipation of a cooler housing market has led Chinese stocks down 12% this year. But business professor Patrick Chovanec at Tsinghua University thinks it could get even worse. Mortgage loans could go bad.
The worry that I have is that there'll be a lot of incentive to sort of brush it under the rug. And this is precisely what happened in Japan after their real estate bubble burst.
Bad loans in Japan festered for a decade, what we now call the lost decade. Chinese policymakers hope they have found their solution. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Finally, there's a hacker on the loose selling Facebook accounts. They come pretty cheap. How cheap, though, depends on how popular you are. A bundle of 1,000 costs criminals $25 if those people have fewer than 10 friends. People with more than 10 friends cost $45. Apparently, high school really never does end. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.